Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, May 28th, 2014. This is episode 74 of The Big Show. Thanks so much for being here. It is really, really good to have you here, as ever. I know I say it every week, but I so appreciate just the fact that you tune in every week and listen to me talk about all this stuff related to internet marketing and trends and strategy and how it all plays together to help you grow your business. And you know, from the emails that I get and from the messages I get on Twitter and places like that, it seems that you enjoy it and it seems that you find value in it. And I think that's really cool. And it's why I like doing it every week. So thank you so much for tuning in every week. It really does mean a lot to me. So there is a ton of stuff to talk about today. Holy moly, just so many things to cover. I hope I can get through everything that, you know, there is to talk about today in the time that we have. So the original episode of the show, what I originally was going to talk about was a follow-up to last week's discussion about, you know, what happens when e-commerce giants attack. And I was specifically talking about Amazon and Hachette. I still haven't learned how to pronounce that name. I'm so sorry, guys, if you're listening. Trust me, it's not because I don't care. I just forgot. Except in the interim, something happened today that caused me to rethink what this episode should really cover. And as a result, I am going to talk about what happened since last week's show, but giving it a slightly different frame, giving it a slightly different context. So hang with me and you'll see where this is going. Now, longtime listeners to the podcast or readers of the blog will be aware of the fact that pretty much every year I cover Mary Meeker's report when it comes out. Mary Meeker these days works for Kleiner Perkins, KPCB, one of the big venture capital firms. Prior to that, Mary was involved with J.P. Morgan and was one of the big internet analysts, huge internet analysts, who pegged which companies were going to win in the internet economy and has done a pretty good job of it. And that's sarcasm because she's done an extraordinary job of it, you know, pegging companies like Google and Yahoo and Netscape when they first came out and the like as being companies that people really needed to pay attention to. So I think it is no exaggeration to say that Mary is one of the smartest people paying attention to the internet every day. And as a result, I think it's really smart of us to pay attention to Mary when she comes out with her her assessments every year, as she does. And the great thing is she puts together this tremendous deck and then makes it available for free on the internet to talk about what's happening and what's worth paying attention to out there. And so I'm going to frame this week's episode really around Mary Meeker's trends report, which I'm going to have a link in the show notes to the report. I encourage you to go read the entire report. It's fascinating. It is in depth. It is incredibly helpful. And it's likely going to shape how you do what you do online for the next year or two or three. For instance, I just want to cover some of the overall trends, and then I'm going to get into some specific things. But overall, you know, she talks about the fact that internet use, the number of users on the internet has grown by about 10%, a little bit less than 10% year on year. However, it's slowing. The fastest growth are in markets that are very difficult to actually monetize, you know, India, Indonesia, Nigeria, developing markets. Smartphone subscribers are also growing, but from a huge ratio and still at greater than 20% per year, with, again, the fastest growth coming in markets like China, India, Brazil, Indonesia. So global penetration. She talks about how big tablet growth is, with greater than 50% growth year on year. And the biggie is the overall data traffic growth for mobile. Now, this should not come as a shock to anybody who listens to this show regularly. But I think mobile's a pretty big deal, too. You know, but the enormous amount of growth, 80% growth and accelerating each year in terms of mobile data traffic. According to her report, smartphone users represent just an enormous amount of upside. Only 30% of the mobile phone user base, there's about 5 billion mobile phone users in the world, a little over 5 billion. And only 30% of those folks have a smartphone. So huge upside in terms of what could happen with smartphones in the coming years. Mobile usage overall is still rising very, very, very big. It's now 25% of overall web usage, compared with about 14% a year ago. Now, I'm going to talk about each of these things, not each of these things, I'm going to talk about some of these things in more detail in just a moment, but before I do, there's this really fascinating concept in the report about how the growth of internet and mobile generally, and why we should pay attention to the growth there. She's got a great slide that talks about how each new computing cycle is roughly 10 times larger the installed base of the previous generation. So she goes all the way back to mainframes. But if you start with mini computers, there were about 10 million mini computers sold during their lifetime. PCs, which were the next generation, there were 100 million units sold. That was then followed by the desktop internet, where there was more than a billion units, or users in this case. And so it raises the question of, will mobile internet cross 10 billion users? Certainly the early data seems to suggest that that's the case. But it's just amazing to consider that, you know, here we are at 5 billion mobile phones, 30% of them have smartphones, and we may only be halfway to the number of total mobile users, and potentially, you know, what's a third of 5 billion is going to be 1.5 billion, maybe only 15%, maybe only 18% of the way to where we're going to end up, which is just crazy. Now, Benedict Evans had an interesting piece yesterday or the day before where he was talking about the Internet of Things and how technology sort of vanishes in the background, right? We don't really know how many internet-connected devices we have in our world any longer. We certainly don't know how many chips we have in those devices, but as the number of internet connections grows, this could become even bigger and bigger to the point where it just becomes invisible. It's just this transparent, you know, I hate to use the word cloud, but transparent web of connectivity that simply is there. It's just like electricity. And that's going to change how we reach our customers. And this is really one of the key points I want to make. In the Mary Meeker report, she talks about how she references a tweet made by David Sachs that said both WhatsApp and Secret represent the ascendancy of the phone book over the friend graph, meaning that people's connections, people's one-to-one connections, are more important than you know, these sort of loose connections we have in social, which I've said for some time about how important email marketing is. You know, you've heard me talk about how email marketing is this forgotten social network. And actually, I had a post last week that talked about how you can improve your email marketing pretty easily. I said in just 5 minutes, and realistically, it's not that hard, because that's really important. Now, there's a lot of stuff in here that she talked about, you know, how big data trends. This was something I talked about yesterday, where I mentioned how Expedia's leaders can teach you about digital strategy and everything they're doing, where they talk about how big data is. And I don't mean big data, but how important data is. Obviously, that turns into big data pretty quickly. But the key is, we're more focused on data than we are focused on, you know, the apps themselves or the analytics. The data will help you understand your customers in new ways. Get Elastic has a cool post that talks about how Walmart is using receipts to personalize mobile marketing. And Mobile Commerce Daily had a cool thing that talked about how the physical assets underpin mobile's next phase of in-store growth, how you're going to rely upon mobile to connect the different aspects of a customer's connections with you across multiple channels. As one person said, I wish I could remember where I heard this. I want to attribute it to the right people. And I wish I'd come up with this on my own. But this notion that mobile is the mortar in bricks and mortar. Now, I've been talking about this idea for a while. I had a post maybe a week ago that talked about how, talked about your customer tomorrow, what your customer looks like. And earlier this year, a whole thing about what your customers expect from mobile and e-commerce in 2014. And the reality is, data and mobile tie very closely together. First, mobile generates a lot of data, these digital footprints that your customers leave behind everywhere they go. And secondly, apps and potentially over time, the overall ecosystem of mobile will create the environment where you can put the right message in front of your customers. You can take the data and put the right offer in front of your customers based on the data, based on what the data tells you. You know, I had a thing about this the other day about digital marketing directions and these trends that shape. In this specific case, I was talking about travel marketing, but it works across multiple verticals as well. How data, you know, you own the data, you own the customer. You are able to help the customer accomplish their needs because you can anticipate and adapt what their needs are based on what behavioral data shows you. Now, another thing, she kind of mentions AgFam a little bit. You know, she talks about Apple, Google, Facebook, and Amazon, not Microsoft, interestingly, but these top 10 companies and how these internet companies really are shaping customer experience today. And it is Apple, Google, Facebook, and Amazon. Instead of Microsoft at number 5, she's got Tencent, which is a Chinese company, and then eBay right after them. And I've said that they're very close on the outside looking in. Priceline, absolutely. Baidu, another Chinese company, Chinese search engine. Yahoo, which again, I've had them listed for a long time as one of those. And Salesforce.com would round out her top 10. But the idea being that these are the folks who are shaping what customers have come to expect. Now, there's a ton more stuff in this report. Whole sections on video and various screens and apps replacing television channels and more about big data and this whole reimagining of the customer experience. Plus, you know, more meta trends like the growth of China and the need for immigration reform, particularly for skilled technology workers and technology leaders and the like. And how we can reinvigorate what she calls USA Inc. All wonderful stuff, well worth reading, and I definitely would recommend you checking that out. You know, but before I wrap up for the day, I'm not going to you know, drop some verse on you or anything. She had this great line in the appendix that said, great companies grow revenue, make profits, and invest for the future. And that companies that do just two of the three are signing up for being just okay, not great. And this is where I want to loop back to this notion of the fight between Amazon and their publishing rival, Hachette, about what's going on with books and how, you know, The Verge has this great post that says Amazon confirms its fight with the publishing giant Hachette, and it's real. And really, the point I was trying to make last week was not that Amazon's the good guy here. Let me be really clear. I'm not suggesting they're the good guy at all. They may well be the bad guy. At the same time, I don't think business is ever quite so simple as good guy, bad guy. I think what's really happened is Amazon undoubtedly invests in growing its revenue. It's trying to create a world where it can generate as much profit as possible, though in their case, they tend to reinvest those profits back into the company, and they undoubtedly invest for the future. That's where their profits go today. And the point I was trying to make last week is that if you look at most publishing companies, they try to grow revenue. I certainly think that's true. And they try to make profits, and I think that's true. But where most publishing companies have failed in recent years is that they have not invested in the future. They've used the revenues and they've used their profits to erect barriers to others and to sustain the past. And really, the core point that I try to make again and again and again, you know, week after week, and the core point that I think you should take away from Mary Meeker's piece is that the future is going to happen. And your best success will come from investing in that future in ways that are meaningful to customers as they adapt to the future, as they themselves live in the future. And so I'm not trying to pick sides one way or the other, but I think the way that you're going to win when you're competing with the giants, the AgFams of the world, and your competition is when you focus on how you generate revenue, how you generate profits, and how you invest for the future of your business and for your customers' future needs. You do a good job of that, you're going to be in great shape for the long run, no matter what the big guys do. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are way out of time for this week. A little bit longer than usual. I told you there was a lot to cover. But as ever, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to remind you that you can subscribe to the podcast. You can go to timpeter.com/podcast and subscribe. Click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes there. You can subscribe by going to iTunes or Stitcher or any of your favorite podcatchers and do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or just plain old Thinks Out Loud. And that you can, of course, email me at podcast@timpeter.com. Again, podcast@timpeter.com. I do so enjoy hearing from you. And with that, I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And I look forward to seeing you right back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Take care, everybody.